Hello, this is Rabbi Josh Uter, and welcome to the introduction to a brand new podcast series, What's the Point of the Midrash? Been a long time. Hi, it's Josh Uter. In case anyone forgot, welcome back. If you've been here before, and welcome if this is your first time. Wanted to start a new podcast series that I'm calling "What's the Point of the Midrash?" And wanted to not distract from the actual teaching part of what I wanted to do. So I figured make a separate introduction type of podcast and throw everything here. So for those interested, you'll know what this is about and see if you're still interested in following along. First, the reason why I wanted to start something new is because, frankly, I've missed doing podcasts. I've missed teaching. It's something that I really, really enjoyed doing when I was at the Stanton Street Shul, where I was giving two text-based classes a week and speaking 4 to 5 times every Shabbat. And I'm incredibly grateful for the job that I have. It's really fantastic. I'm grateful that I'm employed. What I do miss, though, isn't just the learning component, because I've still been able to keep up with Daf Yomi. I've still been able to keep up with a lot of wonderful reading. What I haven't been able to keep up with, though, is really coming up with a lot of new things. I haven't been able to focus. Most of what I did took a great deal of preparation, not just in terms of sitting and plowing through sources, but also the time to just sit, think, and process everything, which I found incredibly challenging, with a full-time job and an hour commute each way. So I can get content, but I don't have the same freedom to just focus on ideas to deal with topics that I think at least warrant a lot more concentration than I've been able to give it. So I've been able to give a couple of shiurim around here and put some stuff together from time to time, but not with any sense of regularity, or at least not even close to the regularity I was able to when I was at the synagogue. So frankly, I've missed it and I wanted to try something new. This idea of what's the point of the Midrash was something that I actually did at the Stanton Street Shul Friday night. There was a board member who had suggested that the rabbi should say something on Friday night. I figured, well, all right, fine, make someone happy. And trick was, well, I'm already doing a lot, so what could I add that wouldn't be too taxing, might be able to mix it up a bit. And what hit me was something that I learned from Rav Moshe Tendler. I was in his shiur for 2.5 years at Yeshiva University. And every Thursday, he would dedicate part of his regular Gemara Talmud class to teaching something from Midrash Rabbah. For those unfamiliar, Midrash Rabbah is a collection, it's an anthology of rabbinic exegetical homiletic statements. In plain English, it means, what you might call their expositions on biblical verses. For the most part, the Midrash Rabbahs don't have halachic material in them, meaning these aren't things of stuff that you have to do. A notable exception, incidentally, is Devarim Rabbah, in the collection of Midrashim of these homiletic teachings on Sefer Devarim, Book of Deuteronomy. Many of the parshiot, is how it's divided in, begin with a halachic teaching. I think that's, you know, more of a characteristic about how that anthology was put together. But for the most part, in the Midrash Rabbah, it's not a halachic text. They're more homiletic teachings, many of which, I should say many, I haven't done a survey on them, but you'll find quite a few of them repeated, either in other Midrashim, Midrash Rabbah, I should say, or even, you know, you'll find in earlier materials such as the Gemara. And one reason why, you know, I like teaching Midrash Rabbah specifically was because, you know, people often cite, oh, the Midrash says this, and or there's a Midrash. And without knowing exactly where this Midrash comes from, depending on your disposition might dictate how seriously you or how much weight you give to any particular Midrash. The books of the Midrash Rabbah, split up by, they're really split up by each sefer in the Torah, Breishit Rabbah, Shmot Rabbah, Vayikra Rabbah, Bemidbar Rabbah, Dvarim Rabbah, and within them you have it broken down by Parsha, is at least a, for lack of a better term, some canonical text. I don't want to get into the academics behind of when each one was compiled and all that stuff or how authentic any of this is. They're at least established texts of Midrashim. And what Rav Tendler would do when he would teach them was he'd pick, you know, some random Midrash, and he would always ask the question, what's the point of the Midrash? And I thought that was a wonderful question, because the way he would approach Midrash Rabbah wasn't like as some might, which would be to take whatever teaching is as literal historic truth. Because frankly, you just can't do that. And I don't mean, you know, from intellectual perspective of, the Torah says one thing and you have these rabbis who are reading so much into it, as much as you find too many of these homiletic teachings that are mutually contradictory, such that you can't have A and not A, you know, both be historically true at the same time. You'll also find some narratives or some additional information that might seem almost fantastical. And Rav Tendler's approach was, someone thought that this particular message was important to teach. And the question is why? Meaning his vision of reading Midrashim was, what's the point? What is the message that this particular Midrash is trying to convey? And what I would do is in the shul was I would take a random Midrash, almost always from Midrash Rabbah. Periodically, I might pick something from the Gemara if it fit the Parsha and I thought it was interesting. And I throw out the question to the synagogue on Friday night. And we had some fantastic discussions because just the way it was a small little minyan, and we were able to actually have like a real conversation. Some people would contribute more than others, as groups tend to do. And I would always try to come up with at least one possibility for how to read a Midrash. And, you know, over the course of the discussion, a few things could happen. Like one, if people would offer their own suggestions, I could try to nudge and say, well, why might one read be either better or more justifiable than another read? And on several occasions, forget how often, people would throw out ideas that were, I thought, better than what I had. And I'd say so, because the exercise was less about, you know, who's right or who has pshat in the Midrash, but really trying to understand these rabbinic teachings. And there are just so many different ways that you could look at these teachings. If you are the type to take them as, you know, definitive, that a particular rabbi said this particular statement, then maybe you could link it up to other statements this particular rabbi said and see how they all fit into his particular worldview or at least his particular rabbinic tradition. Or some might say, well, historical context, like who are the people that he was speaking to and what could the message have been like for them? Some people, brought in, Roman or Greek mythology. And it's like, this could be in reference to something else that this particular rabbi is responding to. And, I'm not able to do that all the time. And, you can really spend a tremendous amount of time trying to figure out these midrashim. Hopefully we're not going to be that long, but I think the exercise itself is, for me at least, it was pretty enjoyable there. Of course, I liked it better when I had other people around and was able to bounce ideas off of other people. I also think I'm just more energetic when, I don't want to say I have an audience because I really don't like monologuing, but I think I'm more energetic when I'm engaging with people. So I'll do my best to keep my mood up now. As much as I would love to do this with other people, and I think this really could work with other people, I found that it is really difficult to try to get schedules in order. Even in advance, people bail, things come up. And it's just so, so difficult to try to get, even over the internet or in the same city, two people in the room, same time, ready to have a good conversation about these things. So anyway, my plan is this. I'm going to start this week with Shabbat Bereshit and try to pick one midrash, maybe two midrashim, and try to say, well, what might be some ideas or some points of the midrash? Since this is new, I haven't really set up a full schedule yet. My goal, I suppose, would be to publish by Thursday, certainly by Friday, so at least it could be up before Shabbat. Maybe, give people some time to listen to. I don't know, maybe earlier in the week, depending on how things go. I haven't really worked that out. But something like, what's the point of the Midrash, I think, might serve as something where I don't feel I have to be, that on top of all of the, I don't have to prepare as much. I don't have to have everything, really thought through, because even the process of talking it out is itself an exercise in trying to figure out, what is the point of the Midrash? And, hopefully I'll try to pick some good ones. I can say just from, going through Midrash Rabbah, that it is really weighted, top heavy, I guess would be a good way of putting it. The amount of material in Bereshit Rabbah is huge, particularly compared to how little we have of Devarim Rabbah. I'm sure someone has done the math about size, but you'll have to trust me that Bereshit Rabbah is much, much larger. So we're going to be skipping a whole lot of Midrash Rabbah from Bereshit because, we just can't do everything. And if I'm still doing this by the time we get to Devarim Rabbah, so be it. But anyway, just wanted to give a brief introduction again of what's the point of the Midrash. And if you're interested, please, let me know so that I know I'm not just, talking to myself. I think I'll probably ask at the end of each podcast, feel free to think about your own ideas and share, because there's a fair amount of subjectivity and interpretation in these sorts of things. I don't think that there's ever, one definitive right answer. Not to say that there aren't wrong answers. I think there can be, there can be reads that I think are unsupported, unjustified, or less justified than others. I don't know, and maybe over the course of this have a, better way of trying to figure out how to learn Midrashim in general. I can say Rav Tendler intentionally would teach, the Midrashim and would teach Agadot and the Gemara that might have been skipped elsewhere. In his words, if it was important enough for them to put in, it's important enough for us to learn. So another important reason to do that. And I also, for my own personal sense, another reason why I really love teaching Midrash Rabbah was people are familiar with a lot of Midrashim, but they don't realize where it came from. So what would happen frequently is when I teach a midrash that would say cited by Rashi, I would say, here's the full midrash that you might know of because Rashi happens to quote this midrash. So, you know, it's, yeah, nice that Rashi says it, but Rashi as a commentator, as I found, is not that original in terms of coming up with brand new exegesis. Most of Rashi is citations of other Midrashim. Midrash Rabbah might also be from the Gemara, might be from Tanhuma. But I think it's important to realize that, you know, the source isn't always Rashi. The source is Midrash Rabbah. And every now and again, you might find something in Midrash Rabbah that Rashi isn't going to cite, particularly if there's a difference of opinion on a particular verse. And Rashi might not quote everyone. Rashi might quote one of the sources and say, wait, there's something else here. And then you can, you know, ask, well, why did, you know, if there's a dispute, why did Rashi quote this particular midrash as opposed to that one? And that's a question for Rashi, and I will defer that to Rashi scholars. But that, you know, those aren't really my concerns as much as, you know, try to go back to, you know, as much of a source as possible. You know, again, depending on how much of a source you take the anthology. I'm going to be skipping most of the academic stuff. I might throw it in if I happen to come across something, but it's going to be a lot more colloquial than, you know, some of you might have come to expect from previous podcasts. But again, you know, gonna try it, see if it works, and if there still is interest, hope to keep on going, schedule permitting. And thank you very much for joining in, and I hope it's an enjoyable ride. Be well, and I'll be posting our first one on Bereishit momentarily.